Eyes of God's goodness, whether in salvation or in calling to service, are always a blessing to hear. Tonight we have a brother from Vietnam. Vietnam is no strange country anymore. Many of us go there for business or for look-see tours. It is a great country. And there we have a brother, and I've asked him, and he has consented to come and tell us how he was saved and how God called him. Brother Van Hieu comes from, which part of Vietnam do you come from? Ho Chi Minh City? Come and tell us. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Van Hieu. The people call me Hieu, or Van Hieu. I'm from Vietnam, and now I'm going to share with all of you how God saved me and how God called me to full-time ministry. I grew up in a Buddhist family with 6 children. The eldest is a daughter, and I'm a second child, the eldest son. And my parents and my grandmother were zealous devotees of Buddhism. Since I was a small boy, my grandmother often brought me to Buddhist temples, and she taught me about the doctrine of Buddhism, and she wanted to pass on the tradition of my house to me. And often she brought me to the temple, but thankfully God spared me from the idolatry, as I always slept at her knees. And she also tempted me that if you follow me, I will give you all possessions. But providentially, the Lord brought one of my cousins, whose name Nguyen Văn Thiện, and who was a Christian. And he often brought me to his house and told me about Jesus Christ and the story of Jesus, how he died for me and how he paid the ransom for my sins. I love the story pictures, the story with pictures, a story about miracle in the Old Testament, and the stories of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And I realized that I was a sinner in need of God's grace to save me. And by God's grace, He brought me to the church, and I, with the working of the Holy Spirit, I decided to offer my life, commit my life to God at Dayan Evangelical Church in my village in the year 1998. And I thank God for choosing me to be His child and strengthen me to go through many persecution from my family. My grandmother and my parents did not want me to go to church, and they did not allow my 2 younger brothers to go to church with me. And my father repeatedly warned me that you should not bring your brothers to go to church. And he often scolded me as a rebellious son. Why did you do so? Because he feared my grandmother. But later on, God touched his heart and brought him to Christ. But he dared not to confess his faith before my grandmother, but he allowed my 2 younger brothers to go to church with me. And later on, the Lord also brought my mother to go to church and accepted Christ, and called my 2nd younger brother to full-time ministry as he's serving God in Vietnam. Now I'm going to share with you how the Lord has called me to full-time ministry. After graduating from the high school in 2003, I entered the college. And my ambition was to earn money for my own and for my family. As I worked in a career aquatic farming, during the 2 years at college, I often go to church and fellowship with many Christians there, and through many fellowship and preaching of the gospel in the evangelical church, and I grow actually much more in the knowledge of God and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was staying with a family whose name was Sung Hung, and through his sharing of his faith and his guidance and his Christian testimony, that influenced me a lot. And I realized, until now I realized, that that was God's plan for me and strengthened me in the Christian faith. Upon my graduation from the college, I went to Benyung province, 1,200 kilometers away, to work. At the time, I earned a lot of money, but it did not satisfy me because I couldn't go to church to worship God regularly. And my heart yearned for God's word and fellowship, Christian fellowship. And the thought of serving the Lord came in the year 2007. When I met a pastor whose name Levan Kai, a Presbyterian pastor, and with my cousin who brought me to church, and they told me and invited me to stay in the church, encouraged me to serve the Lord, and this is good. So I was struggling a lot, because if now I give up my job and I decided to give up, how do I say to my family, because they were not Christian yet, and they may not understand my decision. And providentially, the Lord brought me to remember the verse that my friend had shared with me before, in Romans 12:11, which say, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." And this verse woke me up. And I remember how the Lord had guided me and blessed me thus far. So I decided to give up my job, heed God's call, and enter full-time ministry, and enter into the Saigon Presbyterian Bible College. And I thank God for what He has taught me and how He has guided me in His work. And I was involved in church ministry for more than a year in the southern part of Vietnam. And I served God as missionary there. Even though I could see the fruits of my labor, but the strong presence of the other religions and cults made me realize that I was lacking in the knowledge of God's word. And then God opened the way for me to enter into FBC as now, so that I may better serve the Lord in the future. And after being accepted into FBC, I returned to my hometown to farewell my family before leaving to Singapore, my hometown in the middle part of Vietnam, from Ho Chi Minh City to my hometown, about 1,000 kilometers, and you can take 24 hours by bus. After 10-day visits, and I was on the way to the airport to fly to Singapore. And my sister, my elder sister, called me, and she was crying and called me that her father had passed away, and I didn't understand. Initially, I didn't understand, but soon I realized that I never see my father again on this earth. Why has God taken my father early in year and in this point of time? Many people ask me. He was just 50 years old. And until now, I don't know how to answer this question. But one thing I know, that the Lord is good and He's always right. So after being with my family for another 10 days, I fly off to Singapore and came to FBC late for 10 days. And it was filled with all sadness, memories of my father. And this sadness mingled with the hardship of study in FBC weighed upon me heavily. 7 semesters has passed since I came to FBC doing Bachelor of Theology program. And I can indeed testify that it is God's grace that sustained me thus far, because I was not English educated as you are listening now. When I first came, I faced many difficulties in FPBC. But I thank God that through many teachings from my lecturers who have been training and teaching me many fundamental doctrines, and I grow a lot in these doctrines. And I thank God for many things He has done in my life in FPBC. And the battle for God's word is true. It is before my eyes. How can I doubt the word of God? Where is the perfect Bible today? And that question often occurred in my mind when I first came to Singapore. And I remember I had a hot debate with my friend Ngoc Chang, who was a fellow student in FPBC, a graduate of FPBC. And when I first came, and he told me that King James version is the perfect Bible. I said, "What are you saying?" But then I argued with him. But until now, I realized and I learned. So may God forgive my ignorance, and may His grace be upon me much more, so that I may learn and understand more how God preserved His word. And may this doctrine, fundamental doctrines, carry to Vietnam, and I will teach others in Vietnam when I be back. Please remember me in your prayers, as I will remember all of you. Thank you. May God bless.
Testimony. Here is another young man from a country whose population is 20 times ours. And there is a man now called to serve the living God with a living word. The name is Van Hugh. Please remember him in your prayer. Will you please? When we pray, God will work. And here is this man, what the Lord may do through him. In the future, you can never tell. Sunset Gospel Hour has asked for more frequently asked questions. And this latest lot of questions has yielded many interesting topics. Topics perhaps that escape our mind. And the latest one is there sexuality in heaven? Something that we don't usually preach on. But here is a question. And here we are brought into a very new territory, as it were. Is there sexuality in heaven? How are the people like? What is society in heaven? How are the saved doing? What do they do? This is what we shall look into tonight in God's Word. Please turn to Matthew's Gospel, the same chapter, and I'm going to read the same passage that we had for responsive reading. If you will kindly turn to your Bibles and we'll follow together. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 23. The same day came to Jesus the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection. Who were the Sadducees? They were a party of Jews Not very big, not as big as the Pharisees' party, but they were powerful and they were political. And they did not believe in the resurrection. So they had heard of Jesus. We are going to test Jesus today with a hard question. Here is the hard question. Verse 24. They said to Jesus, "Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up children." Verse 25. "Now there was one with seven brothers. And the first married a wife. And he died, having no issue, no child." Which means, in the Jewish custom, the next brother marries her. And this goes on until all seven brothers have married the same woman. Now this is a strange instance, concocted by the Sadducees in their minds to trap Jesus. What will he say? We like to know. Read on. Verse 28. "Therefore, in the resurrection," the Sadducees did not believe resurrection. But here in this contest of minds to tempt Jesus, they've purposely brought in this fictitious case, supposing there was such a instance. "What will you do? What do you say?" Jesus said to them, verse 29, "You do not know your stuff, you Sadducees. You're trying to trap me." Of course, Jesus did not say that. But please understand, Jesus is God. He knows the secrets of the Sadducees who came to him. He could read their minds. Before they asked him, he already knew what they were going to ask him. So that our Lord is never caught off guard. Jesus says, "You err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Who was God and where was God? Please understand. Here right in front of the Sadducees was the God of creation, Jesus. And they did not recognize him. So here says the Lord Jesus, "You do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God." Now comes the crunch verse, the concluding verse that sums up the whole argument, which you and I must take note of. I will read for you. "For in the resurrection," which these Sadducees did not believe, but of course Jesus knew it, and the Lord Jesus was going to tell them exactly what happens in the resurrection, which the Sadducees knew nothing about. What did Jesus say? "The people neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they have become like the angels of heaven." Interesting, isn't it? Now we learn something. When we all go to heaven in the resurrected state, we're going to be in a large community, and we will be as the angels. One of the questions I received was, do men become angels when they die? Answer is, of course not. God created men. God created angels. And angels remain as angels. They don't ever become men. And men remain as men. You and I will arrive in heaven one day, provided you have trusted in the Lord, you know. Please do not assume if you are just a fellow traveler coming to a church because of custom. Watch out. The day will prove it. Now, I have my usual OHBs to help us follow the plot of the story. It starts with these professors of the law, the Sadducees. Here they are. They were a powerful Jewish religious political party. They wielded great power. And they came to tempt Jesus, asking, in this case of their supposed seven men who married one woman, amazing, of course, totally concocted in their minds to trap the Lord Jesus. In the resurrected state, whose wife would they be? So absurd and so ridiculous. Seven men with one woman, all of them claiming, she is my wife. Can it be? Jesus says, you are talking nonsense. In the resurrection, there is no more marriage and sexual activity. So here we come across the word sexuality. What is it? To put it very simply, you call it the sex drive that all of us know or should know. It comes to every child. When that child grows up, it reaches a stage of development. We call that puberty and adolescence. What is the meaning of adolescent? These papers are stuck to the back of the OHP. Adolescence and puberty. Is there any difference? Yes. One describes the growing up process, the other the manifestation of signs, evidence of the person growing up. When your boy begins to grow up, and suddenly has to shave. Some things happen. These are the signs of puberty, maturity in the sexual area, and begins to be shy in front of girls. Or, overcoming the shyness, they go after girls. Some of us, or most of us, men, understand what I'm talking about. There was that shyness, then the boldness. Adolescence is the awakening process. You don't have to tell the young lady, but when it reaches 13, 14, she's very shy. And those ones who are mature and learn more of life, they become very bold. Maturation process. Appearance of secondary sex characters. Suddenly, the young lady cannot wear her dresses because of growth and development. So we call it the growing up process. All these I'm describing are sexuality only on earth. Once we pass this earth, it does not bother us anymore. Do you know? Then you ask me, hey, when I die, do I become an angel? No. You remain. Let me prove to you from God's word. Please turn to the word of God in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. The famous chapter 16, which you ought to know. This was a parable told by the Lord Jesus. And it is very instructive for you and me to know. Verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. The Lord Jesus tells the story. A certain rich man was clothed in very expensive, fashionable clothing, purple, fine linen, and fed sumptuously, eating 10-course dinner as it were, lavishing on himself the best because he was rich. He was very rich. Then came a certain beggar called Lazarus, and he was at the gate, full of sores, no friends, desiring, verse 21, to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, his only friends came to him, the dogs. How did the dogs get attracted? The dogs came and licked his sores. And the discharge of the sores, did the rich man care? No. Because this is relevant to the rest of the story. How come Lazarus, when he died, went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell? I say, is it because of his wealth he went to hell? And is it because Lazarus was so poor he went to heaven? Do you interpret that as the cause of the parting of ways? No, dear friends. Here is a simple illustration to show how the rich man who had no pity, no faith in God at all he cared about was not his salvation, nor doing some good turn to a poor beggar. All he cared for was himself. I, myself, and me was his only concern. How to eat and grow fat until he died. Then he went to hell. So the rest of the story you know. In hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw, hey, that is Lazarus the beggar. Where is he? In Abraham's bosom, in paradise, you may call it in heaven. And there he was in hell, the rich man. Now, this is the story for you. Please do not misinterpret it and say, hey, don't be rich. If you are rich, you go to hell. And if you are very poor, you go to heaven. No, that is not the interpretation. He had no faith. He cared only for himself. I, myself, and me were the only things that concerned him. And for that, he had no idea whatsoever about future salvation, about future going to heaven and hell. He couldn't care less. And because of that, he went to hell. Now, dear friends, what do have we proved? Number one, the rich man from heaven recognized, it's Lazarus. Was he a man, a woman, or had become an angel? Of course not. He could see, Lazarus is still Lazarus. He could recognize him. He did not change his sex. He was still a man. A man remains a man. In other words, you and I, when we go to heaven, remain as men and women, depending on your own sex. You will retain it. That is the interpretation for this part. Now, for our further enlightenment, what is sexuality? Is there the difference between sexuality and gender? Oh yes, a great difference. Can you tell me the difference? I will tell you. At least I can say I know something. Maybe you're not very sure. I'm a gynecologist. Sexuality is the quality of sex in you. You're born a man, you remain a man. You're born a woman, you grow to be a woman. It is obvious. What's the difference? In the sexuality, the quality, activity are different. A man has certain interests and grows up into a man. Obvious from the hair distribution, from the muscle distribution, every feature is that of a man. A woman naturally grows to be a woman. Yes, the hips grow and she becomes different in outline. Yes, we all know that. I don't have to describe it. But look at the women and then you say, he's so different from me. I'm a man. So that is the sexuality. What is gender? When the rich man looked up, he saw that fellow is a man. That is gender, you know, understand? You know, there are some languages where the words have gender. When we studied Latin, and some of you study some other languages, there are certain, like, this table is a feminine, you know, in Latin. Yeah, I couldn't understand. But it is so. In the Latin language, it's feminine. And so certain words denote the sex of words. Amazing, amazing. Now, we are not going into that tonight. So, gender refers to the classification, male or female. Sexuality and gender have similarities in interpretation, but there are important differences. Now, why is it we are interested in sexuality? Why is it that we need the holy commandments to guide us in our respect and our attitude, male with female? Why is it there are certain moral laws so important? Why? Why? Because there are many sinful acts and sinful thoughts that come to our mind that are put there by the evil one, the devil. And the results of this are listed here. Many thousands and millions of pregnancies are aborted. When the woman says, I cannot afford to be pregnant, I'm not married. And we get this complaint regularly. But worse still is when the country legalizes abortion. I was in a debate some 40-odd years ago. And as president of family planning, I said, no, family planning, yes, but not abortion. We went to debate, we won the debate, but the sentiment of the public won the abortion. So we say, stop at 2. They say, no, we stop at 0. Nowadays, people are not interested in having babies. They want to have a fine time. Okay. Pregnancy, miscarriages, unwanted pregnancies go into abortions. And out of this sexuality and sexual activities, illicit and sinful, arise a whole host of crimes that fill the pages of Straits Times. Do you know that? If you don't know, subscribe to Straits Times for 1 week and then you read it. Every day, rapes. What is rape? Nowadays, gang rapes. A gang of men catch a woman and rape her. And they all have fun together. These are the origin of crimes. What are we talking about? Sexuality. No more in heaven, because nothing sinful, nothing dirty, nothing unlawful can ever enter into heaven. Read the Word of God in Revelation. So, crime and rape and social upheaval. Upheaval is wrongly spelled, no E here. Alright. So do you follow? So the Sadducees got it all wrong. Sex crimes do not go into heaven. In fact, no crimes go into heaven. Nothing sinful, nothing wrong can ever enter the portals of heaven. Now, dear friends, what are we talking about? I give you one more passage of Scripture, and then we will end. The last passage of Scripture is in Revelation. While we say there is no more sexuality in heaven, there is a great marriage banquet to which you will be invited if you have a faith in the living God. Revelation 19, near the end of the Bible, 19, then 20, 21, 22, so it is the four verses, four chapters from the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. And this is speaking to you. He said to me, write, I'm reading from verse 9. Blessed are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Ah, you said a moment ago, you asked me, You said there's no sexuality. How come there is marriage? This is in the spiritual realm, please understand. Spiritual realm. The Lord Jesus is the bridegroom. He is the God Almighty. And all the believers collectively are referred to as the bride. And that bride must keep herself unadulterated, pure and holy for the bridegroom. This is how it ought to be. And this is how it should be with your daughters. All our women must be pure in their thinking, in their outlook, until they get married. Then they go as virgins, pure. I read verse 9 again. This is where sexuality comes in. Right. Blessed are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are the young girls who walk up the aisle to be married as virgins to the bridegroom, as the bride, the saved, the church of Jesus Christ is that clean and pure bride of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. Why did we study about sexuality in heaven? Why? This is the reason. For you to understand while there is sexuality on earth, you must safeguard it. It is the gift of God, not for anyone to do anything he likes with it. Least of all, to do sinful things. Keep yourself for the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is he who keeps himself away from all these sinful things. Closing him. Closing him is 5:4-9. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and